When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Well, I gotta say, if Seltzer was really on his game, he'd be playing Meek Mill right now. But, James?
That's a fair point.
This is pretty good. Hey,
Jimi Hendrix, though.
Yeah,
Jimi
Hendrix. But I got to say, Corey, before the NFC Championship game at Lincoln Financial Field, wasn't rocking out to Jimi Hendrix.
No, that's a fair point. Honestly, I kind of scrambled to get the music at the last second. I was getting Jason Kelce on the phone. It's a bad job by me.
All right, so Jason joins us in just 1 minute. We got to close out from the 8 o'clock hour, a Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse, it has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, guys, the second poll question we had today, which of these is the best song? These stem from answers on our program Tuesday. John, what was said by the audience were Bohemian Rhapsody, Johnny B. Goode, Let It Be. James, which would you vote for?
I would vote for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay, Rhea?
Correct, same.
Benjamin?
I would.
Corey, we got Bohemian Rhapsody, Johnny B. Goode, Let It Be.
Before my time, but I'm going to go with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
It's Johnny B. Goode.
You would recognize
Johnny B.
all three.
Is the proper answer here.
So
Bohemian Rhapsody is great.
I think it's Johnny B. Goode as well.
It is Johnny B. Goode. The Rolling Stones.
Can we get Johnny
became
B. Goode?
The Rolling Stones because they listened to Johnny B. Goode.
Fire up Johnny B. Goode.
So, can I get 5 seconds just to figure out which one that guy is?
You'll know it. This is
Chuck
so
Berry.
Good. We're getting to it here. All right, here we go. Johnny, B. Goode.
Oh, I know this one. Yeah. I should have picked him. You can't go wrong with either, though. No,
this one should have won. Well, it didn't, John.
Sounds like a beach song.
It's 1957 or something like that. Just, man.
All right, John, so I just told you.
All right, I changed my vote. John, this is too fun.
I think I was going to have to change it, too. It sounds fun.
All right, it didn't win, John. What do you think won?
I think Bohemian Rhapsody.
It did.
Of course. It has a movie out, too.
All right, so 56% of the vote, Bohemian Rhapsody. 28% Let It Be. 16% Johnny B. Goode.
No.
Maybe if Johnny B. Goode, is there a movie out documented?
That's true.
Back to the Future.
I'm sorry, that's what I think of Johnny B. Goode.
Yeah.
And Anthony Michael Hall in it. Remember
if there is
one?
A movie, Jason.
It was a quarterback, actually. Yeah, high school quarterback.
If there is a movie, Jason Kelce will probably star in it because he's starring in everything right now. All right, so bottom line is the final Stairway to Heaven, Bohemian Rhapsody. Get voting at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. And let's welcome Jason to the phone. Of course, Jason and Corey were able to hang out a couple days ago together at the Otho Davis Foundation Scholarship event. Great night. And we're going to get to the championship-winning moment, Corey, obviously when, the ball was up in the air and batted around and batted. We'll get to that in a moment. But Jason is joining us right now, as he always does, brought to us by his beer, Garage Beer. Make it your beer as well, because the garage, it's always open. Light beer like it used to be, light beer like it can be, like it is with Garage Beer. Find Garage Beer at your local retailer or at drinkgaragebeer.com, official beer of the Kelce brothers and dads out everywhere. Jason, good morning to you, bud.
Joe, how we doing?
Good, pal. We had a Johnny B. Goode conversation there, and I was trying
to get to
you, but, so Jason, Corey, Jason, I don't know if you guys ever met before.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? Nice to see you.
Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too, buddy.
Jason, was it fun to see some of your guys the other night at the banquet?
It was awesome. It was awesome seeing a lot of former players. Right away you see Corey and that smile. You can't be anything but happy running into Corey again.
Oh, I appreciate you, buddy.
Seeing Malcolm, Trey and Nick Foles. And honestly, the whole event is to honor, Otho Davis and, trainers. And, seeing all these medical people and, trainers that, have helped you get through your career, because every athlete, especially in football, every athlete's going to get hurt at some point, and there's no more insecure feeling than being injured and being unsure of your future. And I got to see Dr. Peter DeLuca, who ended up repairing my ACL and MCL on my right knee. I got to see Gary Dorsheimer, who took after care of me, now takes care of my dad. There's a lot of, I think a lot of people just see the product on the field and the coaches, but there's all these support people behind the scenes in the NFL that become very synonymous with your family in a lot of ways, especially in Philadelphia. And, yeah, it was really awesome to see all those people.
No question. And, you know, Corey, what we also saw, we saw Nick Foles kind of ripping Jason for his snaps.
But it's understandable. I'm like, now I put two and two together. I put two and two together because I thought I was going to fumble it on stage on Tuesday.
Jason, all jokes aside, did you consider that the weakest element of your game? I mean, it was kind of an adventure back there sometimes.
No, I mean, I had other weaknesses, unfortunately. the snaps were definitely, they were fast. That was the biggest thing. And if it was off just a little bit and it's hot, it's really hard to handle. Mm. And Nick was very good at he didn't really get into it on stage, but he would tell me all the time. He's like, I could tell just by the way your butt was where that ball was going.
Wow.
And he was very good at, you know, I guess judging where that ball was about to go. Where I really struggled was when new quarterbacks would come in. Right. Whenever a new quarterback came in that I hadn't been familiar with, my snap was so different than every other guy's. That's when it was really a major issue.
I think a lot of people really underestimate the center's job. You know, Kelsey, I give you a ton of respect. You know, like, hope it spills over only because it's, you got to snap, let's talk about the pass pro first. He's dictating the ship up there, and it's just like, and he's confident in what he says, and I respect that. You know, that's a guy who studies day in and day out. And I watched it as a rookie. I'm just like, this dude just knows everything. And it's something you got to really idolize. He's snapping. He's pulling. He's getting rushed at a zero tech. And it's like, you got somebody right in your grill as soon as you snap the ball. Man, that's not easy at all.
Well, and Jason, obviously, Corey, one of the major storylines of his career, undrafted free agent. Jason, you weren't that far from that. I mean, sixth round is about as late as it gets anymore. So, you know, both you guys obviously were, you know, somewhat largely doubted entering pro football, and you both did an incredible job. Jason, our team's doing a great job. Go ahead, John.
Well, what about some of that? You're making a lot of those calls, pass protection wise.
Yeah.
But you got a rookie running back on third down in on all your 2 minute stuff.
Right.
All your hurry up stuff. How unlikely is that Corey Clement is the guy that you and the offensive line, you're speaking the same language, you're depending on him to get all the calls?
Yeah.
How unusual was that?
You know, it was...
Yeah. Go ahead, Kelsey.
Yeah, I don't know who we're talking to, but yeah. I guess it's a little unusual whenever a new guy's back there and you try to overstay communication, but I will say, Deuce Staley, like, he made sure that we were getting reps with all these guys, and if anybody was getting in the game, we had been through these blitzes and these looks and this communication process.
We're going to get
a ton already.
Yeah.
And you know, we always felt really comfortable in the game, especially with Corey, who was really on top of it. That wasn't going to be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, you guys forced me to grow up fast. I mean, I'm not going to lie, because coming from college, I didn't pass pro at all.
Really?
Wow.
Barely.
That's impressive that you picked it up so quick,
yeah,
man.
Like.
That's impressive.
We had another guy, Dario Gumawali, who's playing for the Texans right now. Awesome third down back. But that wasn't my job. I carried the rock at least 30 times in college.
Sure. Wow.
I didn't really pass like that. But when I came here, I was forced to. I got Jason Peters, Lane. I'm like, these are OGs in front of me. I need to step my game up. Right. Wiz Newski. I don't want to look like the person who shouldn't be out here.
Yeah.
And that's a feeling you don't want.
Well, you picked it up fast.
Wow.
Jason, our team here is picking it up big time lately. So let's get to the present day squad, Jason. 8-2, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of talk this week about Eagles, Lions, Chiefs, Bills, put them in whatever order you want, but like a lot of people think those are top four, the Eagles are in it. Does that resonate with you that the Eagles are now upper echelon NFL 2024?
Oh, absolutely. I think in the NFC, it's, you know, there's still going around. There's a lot of other teams, and we'll see how the season ends. A lot of things can happen, but right now, the Lions and Eagles, I think, are probably the top two that I've been up there.
For sure.
AFC, you know, I wouldn't sleep on the Ravens still. I know they lost an ugly one to Pittsburgh, but they still got a lot of great players over there. But, yeah, I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the season ends and who's at the top in the NFC. The Lions have a much tougher conference left the Eagles, you know, the Commanders are pretty good, but it's really collapsing across the rest of the NFC East right now. So, I mean, this is a big game this week in L.A. They take care of the Rams. You know, they could be in a really good spot moving forward.
Let's talk about that. How well those wide receivers that the Rams have, man, Cooper Kupp, yeah. Puka Nacua, we got young cornerbacks trying to match up against some really awesome wide receivers and a quarterback that's got a golden arm. How is that going to shake out, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to – so Stafford is still slinging the ball as good as he ever has. I mean, he still has the zip on it. He has a – his arm is incredible, and you watch him play, and that's still there. Yeah. He's getting all those guys back, and then maybe more importantly, now their offensive line is starting to get healthy. I think, you know, as with any quarterback, when you get him off his spot, take him out of his rhythm, it makes all that stuff a lot more difficult to execute on. I think, you know, Havenstein's back, I believe, this week. They're getting healthy up front. But yeah, it's a big challenge for our defense. You know, they've been playing great. They've been much more aggressive, even in their coverages. I love watching, you know, how they've continued to get better throughout the season. Their linebackers are playing fantastic right now. The Eagles, that is, Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean. The D-line is getting after it. Nolan Smith had a couple back-to-back, just big. They kept running this counter play, this counter OT play, the Commanders. And it's a scary play to see start getting some rhythm, because it's a very difficult play to defend when they pull the guard and tackle and have the read on it. We run it a lot. It's one of our favorite plays and go-tos because of the ability of Jalen Hurts. And it was
close. Is it a counter tray? What's the difference between that and the counter tray?
It's the same thing, but you read it on the backside. So your counter tray would just be like an under center or, you know, a typical counter run. Mm-hmm. The counter OT is like guard tackle pull, and the quarterback is either going to keep it or give it to the back based on what that backside end does.
Okay.
So,
wow. That's nice.
Anyways, Nolan Smith came in there and completely blew that play up, like went and just submarined the tackle, accordioned the whole thing, and they kind of got away from it after that. And then the very next play, he ends up getting the sack around the edge. So, They're playing with a lot of aggression right now. They're playing with a lot of confidence. They're running around. They're playing aggressive. So it'll be fun to watch them against the Rams.
Sure.
Who are now at full strength this week.
Yeah, Jason Kelce with us here. Of course, Corey Clement in studio as well. You know, Jason, the Quinyon Mitchell thing, man, I am blown away by this dude. And I think he's the best rookie I've ever seen the Eagles have. You know, since you got here, and it's about 15 years or so, is he the best Eagles rookie you feel like you've seen?
Oh, man. Now I'm trying.
His phone's zapping out a bit. But yeah,
I saw a stat recently.
Cox.
I saw a stat that Cooper DeJean, there's a stat like average yards per play when you're the nearest defender. And out of all the DBs in the NFL, I think Cooper DeJean might be at the top of the list in terms of average number of yards gained when that play happens closest to you, when you're the closest guy in coverage. So it's Quinyon. It's Cooper DeJean is doing amazing things, too.
Yeah, what do you make of it, Jason? We lost your phone for a moment. What do you make of it? Oh, I think we lost his phone. All right, James, I'm going to put him on hold for a moment here. While we do that, let's also Corey, how much are you watching the present day team? I mean, when you came in, it sounded like you're rooting for the Eagles.
Oh yeah, I'm heavily watching every Sunday.
And so you're all in on this.
I'm in on it.
You love it.
It's actually exciting to. I mean, this is my first fall to actually sit back and actually dissect what's going on this year.
Yeah.
And I like it / don't like it being on a.
I was
on
mad.
The opposite side. Yeah.
I was mad at football.
Yeah, no, it'll get like that for a second.
I didn't watch it for a year.
Yeah, it'll get like that for a second, but I try to become a different fan of the game and take myself out of it for a second. And I like what I see out of both defenders, especially as rookies. So I think we don't want to give them a ceiling because I think these guys can play for 10-plus years. So these guys are special.
You know what's an incredible, outrageous ceiling that Jaws referenced recently about Quinyon Mitchell. Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, he wasn't saying he's going to be as good as Deion, who probably was or was certainly amongst the best of all time. But he was saying that Quinyon Mitchell is reminding him. Matter of fact, let's play this audio quickly, James. Let's get to Ron. Here's Ron Jaworski talking about Deion, talking about Quinyon. This is pretty wild stuff. Does Quinyon Mitchell have a chance as he develops to become the best cornerback in football?
Absolutely. It was kind of interesting. They were watching the telecast last week against Washington, and I'm just thinking, they're talking about Quinyon and, in positive ways. Then they showed those five or six clips where he was in press, bump and run, and my immediate reaction was Deion Sanders. Mm. That was my immediate reaction.
Wow.
When I watched the movement, the hip turn, just smooth, the head movement, never lost track of the offensive wide receiver. It was just reminiscent to me, in a flash, of Deion Sanders.
Wow.
I know that's pretty high company, but that's what I saw.
That's unbelievable.
That's high company.
So, Jason, that was Jaws the other day with Quinyon. I mean, that is, with us, that's pretty unbelievable, Jason.
Yeah, no, that's high praise. I mean, it doesn't get any better than being compared to one of the greatest of all time.
Wow.
I don't know that I'm qualified to say if Quinyon Mitchell is going to be Deion Sanders
sure,
or not.
Yeah.
But I think, the kid's been lights out. He's played at a really, really high level. Is he the best rookie of all time for the Eagles? I think he's having as good of a rookie season I've ever seen. And, I think it makes such a difference. And I know, Cooper DeJean is playing really well as well. But that outside corner position, you're matched up on the best guys on the other team, the wide receiver ones. He's answering it week in, week out.
Big
it's really
time.
Impressive
yeah,
so far.
Sure is. All right, so we got Jason and Corey. And, of course, Jason, you just said it doesn't get, any better than comparison to Deion. I say au contraire, sir. I say it doesn't get any better than when the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. All right? So let's crank it up. We got Jason. We got Corey. And we got Merrill Reese, early February 2018. Let's listen to the moment. We'll get their reaction. The Philadelphia Eagles, for the first time ever, they did it. They won the Super Bowl.
9 seconds left. Eagles by 8. Brady lines them up. He's back again. He steps up. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around and incomplete. And the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. Let the celebration begin.
Jason, Sarah, thank you. Corey Clement, thank you, and God bless you. What goes through your mind when you hear that, Corey?
Every childhood dream who loves football finally came true. I just really couldn't wait to get back to Glassboro, New Jersey, and just celebrate with the people I came up with. And it was such a moment that really didn't sink in until about the following season. I'm like, all right, we got to get back to work. Because you've seen the high that you can get and achieve. But it's like, what's next? So it's just like, you never want to come complacent with just one. It's like, no, I want to keep doing this.
Sure.
And watching confetti fall, I'm like, this seems like it's still a dream.
Did you cry?
Of course.
Yeah.
I broke right down as soon as they didn't catch it. I said, get the heck out of here. There's no flag, no nothing. Oh, man, I could throw this helmet and just take a sigh of relief because my stomach was in my... And touching my back, it was a bad feeling, but that's what every football player goes through. It's just nerves.
Were you nervous for the game? Before the game, because what I hear from a lot of guys is once you start playing, you're playing, you're locked in and good. I know a notable player.
Yeah.
I won't say his name.
Yeah.
Who told me that in a different Eagles Super Bowl that he went to the bathroom during the national anthem because he was so nervous.
Oh yeah. I was pretty okay. We came out to Meek Mill. We were carrying over what we did from Minnesota. That's why I was just so ready. I'm just saying, let's get on to the next person. And caught the opening kickoff. I think that's when you got to get the first hit out the way for me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, finally, I get it out the way early. Boom.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm ready to play now.
You're the first person to touch the ball.
I was, actually, huh?
Well, you did two things.
Yeah.
You were the first person to touch the ball. You were also the first person when the season started to make the first hit.
That
a lot of people
something.
Forget this. Washington had a kick return to begin the year, week one, and you freaking drilled that guy.
Yeah, you crushed
him. Whoever that guy was, you freaking nailed that guy.
I think we watched that together.
Jason, when did you get a sense that Corey was bringing it as an undrafted rookie?
Oh, right away. I mean, you could see the energy and the tenacity in which he ran. And I got a sense before he even came, because Bo Allen, who, you know, was a huge
Big Bo.
Wisconsin fan. And then Corey was very connected with a number of people in the building, including Big Dom. And there was a lot of word circulating and excitement around Corey before he even got to the building.
What's the Dom connection?
Just actually met him in a barbershop, and I was back in high school, and you know, Don's a big dude, and I was like, who are you? You look like you're somebody. And we just sitting there talking, and he's like, I'm a head of security for the Philadelphia Eagles. But
you got to be kidding me. So you met him randomly when you're in high school at the barbershop and became friendly and maintained that relationship?
I still went off to college, did my thing, and then I think five years, I didn't get drafted, but it was like, that was the first person I talked to once the draft was over. He's just like, I know where you want to come. So I'm just like,
that's incredible.
Right, I'll be right there. Yeah.
That's special, man.
I've never heard of this before.
Yeah.
I didn't know
like,
that either.
I knew where I wanted to go. It's just like, I mean, obviously I didn't get picked, but part of me is glad I didn't get picked because I wouldn't have got a chance to play for here, honestly. I mean, those chances were 1 out of 32.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, who knows what happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, Jason, I know we got a segment coming up with the high schools we're about to feature in Turkey Bowl. Let me say this to you.
Sure.
So, Jason, Seltzer knows every year at this time, I say three words, and they signify something. Tis the season. Now, James Seltzer, what do those three words signify?
Christmas.
Yep, yeah. Christmas. Yeah. And what specifically?
Christmas music.
The Hallmark movies.
Oh, of course.
The Hallmark movies that are
I tried to forget that.
Jason, God bless your mother.
You're a big Hallmark guy, huh?
I'm a huge Hallmark guy.
Oh, Jason, we have gotten on him for years about this.
And I am a Mrs. Kelsey guy this winter. Jason, congrats to your mom being featured in a Hallmark movie this winter.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, she's a barbecue pit manager, and I've never seen Mama Kelsey make barbecue.
And I noticed this, Jason. Richie's not blasting Hallmark movies when he finds out your mom's in it. He normally makes fun of me.
John, it's his mom, man.
You're mighty quiet over
it's
there, John.
It's his mom.
Joe. I think Hallmark movies are for moms.
I think
that's
so, too.
The point.
And
yes.
Joe, you are not a mom, right?
No, I'm not. Hey, Jason, one last thing, man. So you got to talk to your guy at ESPN, Schefter. I know he's a colleague.
Okay.
But he opened up a can of worms we didn't need to hear about yesterday, and that's known as his sex life.
Oh, boy.
Let me play some audio.
I didn't hear about this.
Oh, boy. Have you heard this yet, Jason?
I have not.
All right. This is Adam Schefter discussing his sex life on a show yesterday. I'm not making this up.
Oh, boy.
This is not Joe Conklin. This is actually Adam Schefter. Good question. Fascinating answer. Here's the exchange yesterday.
Weirdest place you've broken a story is what?
I can remember being in Denver one time, and how do I say this? I had just spent time with this woman for the first time.
Yeah. Okay.
And
sure.
And got a text that Dale Carter was being suspended. I think it was for 8 games for substance abuse. And so as I continue to lay there, confirm it, and got the job done, Kevin.
I mean,
in every which way.
Kelsey, is he implying, I know he says laying there. Was he implying mid-act?
I love the
he had a great choice of words there.
For sure. He was like, should I say this?
Yep.
Well, he's like giggling.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he knows it's hilarious, but he wants to be at least somewhat PC with it. I think, I mean, it certainly sounds like that. And,
You know, good for him if that's the case, I guess. I don't know.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, everyone, good for you if you get yourself some Garage Beer. It's Jason's beer, and get Garage Beer. Jason, thanks for being a huge part of the program, man. We'll talk to you. Matter of fact, I don't know if we talk to you next week unless we change the day, but if we don't, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Thanks for being a huge part of our program. And obviously, we will, you know, we'll see you in 2 weeks when you're back in here. And have a great trip where you are, man.
All right, guys. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
All right.
Take care.
There he is, the great Jason Kelce.
Well, this is the WIP Morning Show, and a special one here today as we broadcast, of course, from the Odyssey headquarters in Philadelphia, our studio, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, at Tasty Cake Studio. And, you know, a special show because not only is Corey Clement with us and has been for about 2 hours, by the way, John, I think we were right to bump life advice today. No life advice. You know, we had some other pressing matters, yes. but let me tell you, when we do life advice, it is always brought to us by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, go to MHSLift.com. We'll get back to life advice next week. Other than, I'll say this, a little mini life advice. If you have a radio station and you have all sorts of great teams in the Delaware Valley and they play games on Thanksgiving or the day before, feature a high school football game and make it a big part, make it a tradition. That's something we're really proud of here at WIP the last number of years. This is going to be the sixth time Turkey Bowl has come to our station. We created it prior to the pandemic. We love it. We thank our presenting sponsor, Cheney University, empowering minds, cultivating leaders, shaping futures. And John Ritchie, as you know, sir, this year, Camden Catholic, Paul VI. Here we go. And let's welcome the head coaches. Let's welcome the head coaches from Camden Catholic. Let's hear it for Wayne Gilliam is with us. Wayne, good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
How are you, pal?
I'm doing well.
You excited?
Of course, man. This is always an exciting time of the year.
So when you found out Turkey Bowl, your school, going to be featured on WIP, what was that moment like to find out that, featured? I mean, I want to pump us up. It's not meant to be that way.
Of course.
But it's got to be cool for you and your kids and the families and the alums to know that your school is going to be featured on WIP.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, I was at work, just went outside to, you know, greet my kids in the morning, and my phone was just ringing crazy. I'm thinking, like, man, like, all right, what did my kids do? You know what I mean? Because I work at a school. So I'm like, oh, somebody did something. And my phone, and my, like, I'm just looking at my phones and text messages like, yo, we're on WIP. And I'm like, whoa, like, this is crazy. So I started asking my dad, because, you know, unfortunately, I really don't listen to the radio like that, but now I will now. I'm like, is this a big deal? My dad said, duh. So, you know, like, just, you know, this is, it's an amazing, you know, opportunity, not only, you know, for our programs, but our communities, you know, especially with this rivalry and how long it's been going on.
Well, Wayne, congrats to you and the school, and we're so thrilled for you. And also for Paul VI, their head coach. Let's welcome hear him also to WIP, Dennis Scuderi. Dennis, congratulations, bud, to Paul VI.
Thank you.
How do you feel, Dennis?
I feel great. Can't wait for Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, so this game, so we have featured in the past this game on Thursdays, obviously, but a lot of games, Dennis, as you know, have been moved to the Wednesday. It allows families to spend, I guess, more time together on the Thursday. And so, and this is a classic rivalry here. And as voted by our listeners, this most votes, and you guys are about to square off. Try not to fight here today. I know it's tempting.
Is there rivalry negative energy going on right now? Because it seems like you're pretty friendly.
No, I've been on both sides. So I've coached at Camden Catholic. I was head coach there.
So now I've been through this,
and now I'm a Paul VI.
Do they consider you a Benedict Arnold?
Yeah, right. I guess. I don't know. And then this guy was on my coaching staff.
Oh, boy.
What?
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Look at that.
So Dennis, us inside the rivalry. I mean, you know, what should the Delaware Valley know about Paul VI and Camden Catholic? And obviously, we really look forward to featuring the game on Wednesday of next week. Tell us about this.
I tell our kids every year, you could be 0-9, 9-0. It's like Army-Navy. Mm-hmm. It's that intense.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It's fantastic. Now, you guys could have used, and I know you got it. By the way, a lot of the players are featured here. I want to say we have welcomed a lot of the seniors and the captains, and it's so great to see these young men. And, of course, I imagine you guys could have used the Corey Clement back in the day. No offense to your guys there. But, Corey, you grew up not far from these guys.
Yeah, not far at all. I actually was about to go to Paul VI, but I wanted to stay home close to my roots and just finish it out stronger that way. And, no disrespect to any of these guys. These great programs, and I'm pretty sure if I did play for them, it'd have been a great time as well. So,
sure.
meeting new players and being a part of a new committee is that's what life is about. You don't always have the same crowd around you, so it's all about adapting and really figuring out what you want to do and become the best man that you can become.
I look out at you guys, you players, and I am struck by the fact that everyone's wearing ties. Yep. Everyone's wearing shirts with collars.
Yep.
Love it.
There's a discipline and a respect that comes that starts with, you know, dressing the, right. the you know, in a respectful way. I do think that that matters. You know, some of the things that coaches you're instilling now carry over.
Yeah.
How important has that been on your journey, Corey? The way that football, the discipline and everything else, it really makes a difference in life. For me, it has.
Going to a public school, we didn't get a chance to throw on a tie and all that too often. But I'm not gonna shy away from that. That's always gonna build up the man itself, because you always have to come against somebody else who's trying to up their professionalism more than you. So hats off to you guys. Whether you know it or not, these are intimidating looks, because you guys are unified. And it shows that you guys really care about where you guys are coming from. You guys didn't have to be here. You guys didn't have to show up. If you want to play, you're going to have to abide by every guideline your coaches are telling you. So I think it prepares you for college. It prepares you for the next level. And it shows you that the little things really do go far. Like I said, Ty, yeah, y'all might think it's means nothing, but when you go to these high-ranked universities, they want to see discipline. They want to see if you can adjust. They don't want to see if you're going to just go under the cover and not really come out and be scared of what's to come next. You guys are already instilling that now, and you guys are going to keep pushing forward.
John, what would be your advice to these young men, but also to others who could be listening right now, perhaps even out of school, but trying to find their way in life and, you know, create a bright future? Your perspective on this game and how to develop as a young man or a young woman?
Well, I look at this game, guys, as your last opportunity to play this sport with guys that you truly love. I loved the guys I grew up with, that I went to school with. My high school teammates were the teammates that I knew the best.
Yeah.
It really, man,
this is the time I missed the most. Yeah, I'm not going to lie, this is the time I missed the most. Your closest friends, like, I hope you guys get to go to college with your best friends. But like I said, it's enjoy this moment. Don't wish, oh, can't wait to get there next year. Trust me, you're going to look back 12 years later and say, I wish I was still in high school enjoying the moments with my best friends.
Yeah.
Have fun with this, man.
Great to have you guys here with us today. Some extended time with Paul VI and Camden Catholic. Again, a game that will be featured Wednesday night of next week here on WIP, the night before Thanksgiving. No time is yours today. We typically do it at this time, but obviously we want to continue with what we've got going right now. Time's yours when we do it. Always brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. You know, we want to thank some of our supporting sponsors here for Turkey Bowl. They include Steam Fitters Local 420, Bradford White Water Heaters, your Delaware Valley Honda dealers, Roto-Rooter, and also Verizon. And again, special shout-out to our presenting sponsor, Cheney University. All right, so with the two coaches here, Dennis and Wayne, guys, this is going to be the Test the Coaches segment. All right, now I want to tell you, I have asked this question to Ross Tucker, Ron Jaworski, John Ritchie, probably Jason Kelce over the last many weeks, many, many, many people. Nobody has really been able to nail the answer, and I don't think Nick Sirianni's been able to nail the answer yet. Why does the Eagles' offense struggle in the first quarter, coaches? And then it cranks up like a freight train. Can you put the coach's hat on and figure this one out for us?
Yeah, they don't run the ball enough in the first quarter. They need to run the ball in the first quarter.
Right at it.
You're speaking John Ritchie and Corey Clement's language.
Basically, they're a running team, and they're trying to do something that they can't do. But once the game starts unfolding, they start running the ball, their offense is dynamic.
Wayne, what's your theory?
Just, you know, thinking from a defensive guy's standpoint, I think why the Eagles struggle so much in their first opening series is just, you know, the combination of watching film. Like, if they're a running team, like, your whole premise is to stop the run. You've seen a lot of different variations of, you know, defensive ends, like surfing, to kind of, especially if teams run RPOs, to kind of force the quarterback to make an overall read. So now if I'm surfing, I'm forcing the quarterback to pull the ball a little bit. And if I have athletic outside linebackers. Now they're, you know, they're crashing down on there. So more so, you know, making the offense, you know, because, you know, off, this is an offensive game. That's why, you know, the tight angles are – that's why, you know, when we're watching the game, it looks a certain way. You know, it's for the thrill of the offensive guy. So, you know, defensively, you really don't have that much control. But when you do – when you are a gap sound team, when you are controlling what the offense does and dictates that, when you dictate that pace, I think it makes it easier on the defense. The main thing is you want to get a team behind. You want to get them behind the sticks. So their first play, you already know, you know, coaches go through, you know, hours of film – on end to see, you know, what are their tendencies on their first play, depending on what hash they're on and things like that. So when you see that, you know, you want to stop them. You want them. You want to get them behind the sticks.
This is what we're seeing in the NFL this year, though. Defense is playing good defense early and getting teams behind some success.
Because that's what it is, honestly. Yeah. I don't mean to cut you off, because that's what it is.
It's like, I cut them off all the time.
I didn't realize. Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, I don't. I didn't realize we have the offensive-defensive dynamic working between you two. And it's also, like, generational. You were the offensive coach while you were the defensive player, even? Or you were always coaching together? How did that work?
I actually, when Wayne was in eighth grade, I got him to go to Cayman Catholic.
Wow.
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 That is amazing.
And then through the years, once he was done college, he worked with my daughter-in-law. And so, you know, she told me he was looking for a job, and I hired him, and he coached with me for how many years? About 4 or 5 years. And then he went to Cayman Catholic.
That's great. That's great. Hey, we also have to close out, John, our Twitter poll question of the day today. So it's our final one as we were building up to what's the greatest song of all time that was said by our listeners 2 days ago on the show. And the poll result, of course, it's all brought to us here by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2025 Equinox. It sets the bar on styling, and Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. All right, John, I have the poll result. The question was, which of these two is the best song, Stairway to Heaven or Bohemian Rhapsody? John Ritchie, which do you think won the poll? James,
I'm gonna say Stairway wins.
I think Bohemian Rhapsody should win.
Do the coaches have a say? Which should win?
I agree with James.
Okay,
smart man.
Wayne, what do you got?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay,
of course.
All right, Corey. Or, no, is this again before your time?
Here you go again. This before my time again. Don't put me on the stage.
You would recognize them both, Ben. This is in your wheelhouse, man. Which should win?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
John, which should win?
I think Bohemian Rhapsody. But Stairway, it's Zeppelin. And
Stairway typically wins this type of poll.
I think Zeppelin wins the poll.
We can't get another
10-second
clip so I can figure out so I can make it.
We'll get to that the next time you're in here, Corey.
All right,
John, I got the results. Which do you think won?
Stairway.
Nope.
Oh, wow.
51-49.
Wow.
51% said Bohemian Rhapsody.
Is carrying.
And 49% said, I think it's a travesty, but you know. But I think Billie Jean should have been in this. I think the battle him and the
Brandon, I think you're, Billie you're, Jean you're ripping Brandon Graham for taking there. Billie Jean off the
I think
board.
The battle him and the, I think the battle him and the Republic should have been in this.
Oh my God.
Or perhaps the school fight song for Paul VI and Camden Catholic. Do you guys have a fight song? We're gonna be hearing that next week?
Yeah, we have one.
Uh oh.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, guys, let me say this. To the students and the student-athletes, congratulations. We're really thrilled here at WIP and appreciate your participation. We will do our best to give you guys a great broadcast. You won't be able to obviously hear it live because you'll be in the game, but, you know, hopefully you can hear it back over time and, you know, save that thing away forever, because your names and your schools and your stories are about to be featured next week on WIP, and we're really proud of that. And so congratulations to you guys.
Big
coaches,
time.
Congratulations to both of you. I know it's a really neat thing for your program, and we're thrilled to feature you. And let me say to Corey Clement, dude, we are thrilled to have you in studio today.
I appreciate you.
Dude, you are going to be, when you hang it up, and I know you're not ready yet, but when that day comes, you're going to be a great broadcaster.
I appreciate that.
And we'll do anything we can to help you. You know WIP will always be a home for you. Philadelphia will always be a home for you anytime you're ready to do that.
Always love.
And God, man, I'll just say congratulations, Corey, to you. And John, what are the two words? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, to Corey Clement for Super Bowl 52. Corey, have a great time in the next few days in town, man. We'll talk to you up the road.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen,
have a wonderful rest of the day. To Dennis and Wayne, thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having
you. And we'll see you out there next week. Everybody